Okay, Mary, I'm going to start by reading from a quote from Eusebius, a 3rd century historian, and he described Roman flogging in these terms: "The sufferer's veins were laid bare, and the very muscles, sinews and bowels of the victim were open to exposure." And of course, this describes what happened to Jesus. The victim was then taken to the praetorium, where a crown of thorns was thrust upon his head. He was mocked by a battalion of about 600 men and hit about the face and head. He was then forced to carry a heavy crossbar on his bleeding shoulders until he collapsed. And Simon of Cyrene was press-ganged into carrying it for him. When they reached the site of the crucifixion, Jesus was once again stripped naked and was laid on the cross, and large Roman nails were driven into his forearms just above the wrist. His knees were twisted sideways so that the ankles could be nailed between the tibia and the Achilles tendon. And he was then lifted up on the cross, which was dropped into a socket in the ground. And there he was left to hang in intense heat and unbearable thirst, exposed to the ridicule of the crowd. And he hung there in unthinkable pain for 6 hours, while his life slowly drained away. And yet the worst part of this suffering was not the physical trauma or torture and crucifixion, nor even the emotional pain of being rejected by the world and deserted by his friends. But the worst thing was the spiritual agony of being cut off from his Father for us as he carried our sins. So, Mary, do you want to talk a bit about what that means, really?
Well, I find it very hard, actually, to imagine the suffering that Jesus went through, Angus, but that description you've given us does give us some feeling of just how brutal it was. And this part you read at the end about the separation from God. Jesus was God's Son, and, you know, he cried on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? Mm. And for the first time ever in his life, he felt completely abandoned, rejected, and separated from God. And, you know, we understand as Christians that it's the wrong things we do, the sins that we have in our life, these wrong things that actually cut us off from God. And Jesus experienced that once and once only, and that on the cross. And that's why we believe that God actually is able now to look on us as friends, because Jesus did that. But exactly what he experienced, I cannot understand.
I think just reading through that graphic description, it's very hard to come to terms with the physical pain, but also the emotional pain and grief and mental pain and agony that he must have been through then. So the cross and the hill and the cemetery there, or the crosses, they'll be there for the week, Murray?
Yes, they will be, and it's a very relevant place, isn't it? Because it's a place where we remember those who gave their lives in the war, and it's good to go there and do that. And this week we're going and remembering Jesus, who gave his life for all men.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as the wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. And it was my sin that held him there. until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life, and I know that it is finished.
Pause for a few moments' reflection and think about what this actually means for us.
Now I will not boast in anything, in no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? Well, I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. And why should gain from his reward? Well, I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
And so Jesus died. There's no doubt about that. The description of his last moments is quite clear in the Bible. And his body, his dead body, was taken down from the cross. So our trail now takes us from the cross to the tomb. Put it in his own tomb, which was a rough place, hewn out of rock, but really quite a respectable tomb, because he was a respectable man. And having prepared Jesus' body for burial, he rolled a large and heavy stone over the door of the tomb. Now these stones were extremely heavy and very difficult to move, and that seemed to be that. And in fact, if you think about it, if the Easter story stopped then, that would be it. We're very close to the place where we started our view over Straven, and if we went there now, we wouldn't see any church spires. There would be no churches at all. There would be nothing to say that this man Jesus had lived. Angus, I wonder if you've ever tried to think what it was like to be one of the disciples just at that moment after Jesus had been crucified.
Well, Murray, for me, I think this is one of the most exciting bits of the gospel story. And you read it in Luke 24. And I guess, you know, when you think about the situation, the disciples were lost and without hope. Jesus had died and they were wondering, you know, what happens next? They thought it was all over. And then there's this remarkable passage in Luke that describes how the women went down to the tomb expecting to find Jesus' body and couldn't find it there. And I just think it's just so exciting. And you can imagine the heat and the sort of hot wind blowing over a sort of desert-type scene and these women there in their flowing robes.
I see, Angus, is this something that you've really thought about quite often? It's very vivid to you.
No, it's vivid to me. And I think it's a mix of all the different expectations that people would have gone there with, and their expectations were just completely overturned.
You're talking then about the Sunday when they found that the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty.
Yes, and we're hoping to recreate that this week in the East Church.
Now, it says in the Bible there was an earthquake. Are we having one of them as well?
We don't know.
Well, let's...
We haven't planned it, but who knows?
So let's go back to that morning.
Yep.
Or in fact, let's start again on the Friday night. It was the end of the Sabbath, and they really were completely distraught at Jesus having died.
Yep.
Saturday was the Sabbath day, so everybody was quiet. Nothing much happened at that time.
That's right. Yep.
And the disciples must have been in hiding, I think. Mm-hmm. And then early in the Sunday morning, things change. Things change forever, is that right?
Yes, that's right. And we read about the women going to the tomb carrying spices because they expected to embalm the body.
Do you want to read that for us?
Okay, again, the Message Bible is very vivid and fantastic way of describing the whole scene. And it says, at the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices they'd prepared. But they found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of Jesus. And it says they were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. And then, out of nowhere, it seemed two men, light cascading over them, stood there. And the women were awestruck and bowed down to worship. But the men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He's not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up." And it was only then that they remembered Jesus' words.
So this is the true meaning of Easter, that Jesus, God's Son, who died, rose again.
This is the true meaning of Easter, yes, and that gives us all fantastic hope.
Well, Sunday morning I'm looking forward to. Do you know there's a service at the top of Loudon Hill at 6 o'clock in the morning?
I didn't know that.
Well, I expect to see you in the Common Green at 6, Angus.
Right.
We're doing Loudon Hill, and then we're coming back, and then the annual service in the Allison Green at the empty tomb, if the church is still standing there because the earthquake hasn't brought it to the ground, we'll be there at 8:30, and it'd be great to see the whole of Strathaven turn out for that, wouldn't it?
Excellent, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, Angus, it's been really great going through this story with you, and I hope that we get a chance to go round again during the week and meet lots of folk who might even have listened to the two of us waffling on.
What, yeah, now, is it your turn to wash my feet or my turn to wash your feet?
I've got two souls.
Rejoice, rejoice.